This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco here, and he's got an update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Looked like nobody was going to beat the Yankees this season. Matter of fact, they had a nice lead late innings last night. But then Tim Hill faced three batters, didn't do so great. Mark Leiter came in, didn't do so great. And part of his outing was this.
Leiter peers in. He comes set at the belt from the first base side of the rubber. The 2-2 with two out. Bases loaded to Suarez. The pitch swung on high. Fly ball. Left field. Bellinger going back at the track. Leaps and it is gone. Hey, Eugenio Suarez with a grand slam here in the eighth inning.
And as out of Al Leiter's son, Mark Leiter Jr.
No, it's not. Yeah, well. Jesus, no. All right, so anyway, listening to Paul O'Neill during this at bat, he was right on. He goes, Suarez, you can tell, is sitting. And Suarez was, I guess, the player of the week or player of whatever last week or whatever. But he said, you can tell that he's sitting on these off-speed pitches.
Yeah.
And he called it.
Yeah, he was waiting on it.
He called it.
It's and a ball like, player in the booth right there, man.
Yeah, I got to give him credit because he called it 100%.
Here was Al's son, Mark, on the grand slam that he gave up.
That was a good swing. That's my split, and that's what I'm going to go to. And he put a real good swing on it. Unfortunately, it got out.
Yes, it did get out. And then Ben Rice, who homered along the way in this game. They had three home runs, Volpe, Dominguez, and Rice. He says, we were in position to win. Sucks to lose a game like that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's just sometimes how it goes. I mean, I think we got a resilient team that can, you know, dig ourselves out of any holes. But unfortunately, tonight, we weren't able to.
So the Yankees 3-1 through 4 now. They will have Carlos Rodon taking on Zach Gallen tonight on the Fan at 6:25. Meantime, the Mets were in Miami, and they had tied the game at 2. Matter of fact, Francisco Lindor got a base hit, drove in a run. Everything was good. Had an error previously in the game, which is rare, and even more rare for him to have another.
Bouncing ball hit to short. Lindor to his right has this one go up off his chest and rolls to the right, and Lopez is safe. This is going to be a two-error game for Lindor as he makes his second one of the night. Huh. You don't see that happening.
No, you do not. Ah. And then after getting a couple of guys out and then issuing a walk, Kodai Senga gave up this.
Senga's 1-0. Hit in the air toward left field and deep. Nimmo on his horse to the alleyway. Looks up. It's over his head and bangs up against the fence. It's going to score 2 runs. Konine is in. Wright is in. Pauly at second with a go-ahead 2-run double. And in the bottom of the fourth, the Marlins are back in front. 4-2.
And that'd be that. That was Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio. That was it for the offense. 4-2 was the final score as the Marlins take the opener, or take the game from New York, excuse me. Kyle Stowers, a 2-run homer in the first inning. Here was Francisco Lindor. Afterwards, all he can say is, my bad.
I wish I would have done better for Senga. And Senga had a great game. You know, it's unfortunate that I didn't finish the play for him. He executed today all night long. Definitely should be better.
But it wasn't. What else? Series finale today at 4:40. Clay Holmes, the start. Now, there's more to this because you had the whole Sean Manaea situation. We thought he was working his way back sooner rather than later, but as we found out pregame from Carlos Mendoza.
He experienced some discomfort a couple of days ago while he was, you know, starting to ramp up. We took an MRI again and showed inflammation, so he got a PRP injection yesterday. So he's not throwing for 2 weeks now.
So shut down again, and then I imagine they'll take his time with him and make sure they get him back at 100% when he does come back, but he is not ready as of now. The Dodgers took on the Braves. You know the storylines here. LA was 6-0. Atlanta was 0-5. Well, those numbers continue trending in that way.
The 1-1 pitch. Mookie, fly ball, left field, going back toward the wall. It is gone!
Yes, he did. That was Dodgers.
Yes, he got rid
radio.
Of that parasite, huh?
Or whatever it was, yes. hits the home run, puts them in front, or at least extended the lead. L.A. beats Atlanta 3-1, so the Dodgers 7-0, the Braves 0-6 on the season.
They'll somehow...
Man.
What's that?
What were you going to say?
I'm going to say they'll somehow come back and win the division. I mean, they always do. You know, it's just, they'll somehow find a way to come back, scrap together an unbelievable season, and then in September take over the division. But then again, you know, they lost Profar. They're 0-6.
80 games, yeah.
You know, maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's finally just a miserable season for them.
I know it's a big story that they are winless, but the fact that the Dodgers have come out just doing what they're doing, I mean, this is what everybody would have expected.
I see what first team to come out of a championship 7-0 since 1933, the Yankees or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
We
figured this out.
They are good. I know they got the crying pitcher, but they are good.
Yeah, you know what was interesting? I saw that the manager for Roki Sasaki in Japan said that he didn't believe that L.A. was going to be a good place for him because of his emotional issues.
Really?
And in a big market, that wouldn't work. He said this before.
Wow.
Like,
emotional issues.
Emotional issues.
Yeah, but he's got Shohei Ohtani there, man. You know, like, Shohei will take care of him.
Yeah, but it's still interesting that the manager called that and said, I don't think it's going to work out. And then after two starts, you're sitting there crying in the dugout. It seems like he kind of nailed that.
Yeah, but where should he have gone then? Because no matter where you go these days, everybody's going to see you. And, you know, you want to go to the Dodgers because you think you're going to win and you're going to get support.
If he's out there in Sacramento, he's not crying in the dugout.
That's true. That is very true.
He's crying that he went there, though.
A's lost to the Cubs 7-4 in that park again. As a matter of fact. At the NFL owner meetings in Florida, so the league tabled this conversation on the tush push. Here was the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
There are safety issues that are being considered in that case. We have very little data from it, but it's beyond data. There's also, you know, there's the mechanism of injury that we study, that type of thing that leads us to show the risk involved with a particular player.
I don't know. It looks like they're going to discuss again at the league meetings.
Yeah, so it was 16 teams.
Yes.
Voted against it, and they need 24. I mean, I really cannot believe that 16 teams voted against that.
But even if it's 16 teams, that means 16 didn't. So isn't that the vote? Don't we move on?
That's what it should be.
Why are we tabling it then?
Well, because Roger Goodell probably wants this thing out. And they're thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe more people come around and want it out of the game next year.
I don't like it, but I wouldn't make it illegal.
If you listen to the Eagles side of it.
It's right. Football, right?
And you listen to the Eagles side of it, because I guess they did do the research, and when Roger Goodell goes, we have very little data, it's because there's no proof that play hurts more players than any other play. It's just nothing there.
What I don't like is the thing we saw in the playoffs. When they say they can issue a touchdown. Washington. What's the team?
Commanders.
The Commanders.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were trying to time the snap because it's the only way to try and stop it.
Yeah.
Do it for 4 hours if you have to.
Giving
them a penalty. Yeah, I mean,
another penalty they could have given them a touchdown.
That I don't like. Yeah. Exactly.